Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Hoo-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Oh, Scott Frost. Where to begin? If you watched the national championship game on Monday, of course you saw Tua Tagovailoa, that's how you say it, Alabama freshman, Tua Tagovailoa, lead the Crimson Tide to a dramatic come-from-behind overtime win. Why does that matter? Why do we keep talking about Tua Tagovailoa? Well, the reason, back in December of 2014, now bear with me here, this needs some explanation. In December of 2014, Marcus Mariota was right in the midst of his big-time Heisman run-up. It looked like he was a surefire thing. At that point, it was pretty much a done deal. So as a recruiting writer, I'm looking for something to tie in. And one of the things I'm looking to do is check in with Marcus's former coach, Cal Lee, over at St. Louis School. And Cal Lee tells me there's a kid here, and he's young, but there's a kid here who has a chance to be just as good as Marcus Mariota. So I watch the film. I get it. I buy it. I like it. There are very, very, very few kids in my career that I come out and say, this kid is a future superstar. Said it about Justin Herbert. Believed it. Still feel that way. Think he's a first or second round NFL pick. Believed it about Tua Tagovailoa when he was just a sophomore. This kid is unreal. I'm in. I believe it. I'm going to write a story. So I write the story. I interview the kid, and it's like too good to be true. A dream story for any reporter. Not only did Tua Tagovailoa come from the same school as Marcus Mariota, not only was he the next superstar in college football out of the state of Hawaii, also, he actually was mentored by Marcus Mariota at St. Louis School in camps. St. Louis School is a big school. They're not just a high school. They do all the way through the grade schools. Marcus had taken Tua under his wing when he was in the fourth grade, took him to McDonald's a few times, gave him rides home, taught him some things about football. And here is this dual threat quarterback that's got a chance to be a superstar. So I interview him and he says, you know, I've got offers already. Now, again, 15, 16 years old. I've got offers already from USC, UCLA. I'm not really interested. Coach Steve Sarkisian has been here in person to talk to my coach. I saw him in the hall. He wants me. Not really interested. As soon as Oregon offers me, I'm done. I believe that's a direct quote. I think I have that quote. If Oregon offers me, I am done. Oregon knows about it, talks to him, and suddenly 6 months later, they lose all contact. Stop talking to the kid. Now, again, he's already got offers from USC, UCLA, Texas Tech, starting to get interest from Alabama. Everybody's on this kid. Everybody's on this kid. And we're in the spring of his sophomore year. Mark Helfrich has the rule, I don't like to offer kids until they're juniors. It's an old school philosophy. It doesn't work anymore. Kids don't do that anymore. No coaches do that anymore. It's the wrong way to go. Kids by then, especially quarterbacks, are pretty much getting to the point of being down to their finalists if they're a big-time quarterback. So Oregon waits and waits and waits and waits and gets Ryan Kelly, a four-star quarterback. ESPN ranks him the number one dual threat quarterback in the country. I watch his film and I like him. Not as much as Tua. I thought Tua was special. I thought he was as special as what you saw Monday night. So he commits to Alabama And Oregon still waits. And at this point, he's saying, I'm not interested in Oregon anymore. I'm done. I'm done with Oregon. They don't talk to me. I try calling them. They don't answer my phone. I try calling Scott Frost. He doesn't answer. So Oregon ends up getting Braxton Burmeister in the class of 2017 instead of Tua Tagovailoa. How different would this season be if they'd have had Tua Tagovailoa instead of Braxton Burmeister? National championship? No. Get out of here. Right?
Good joke.
But they win a couple more games. So fast forward to after the game, Scott Frost is asked about Tua. And he says, quote, it was a decision I don't know I would have been courageous enough to make. That's the answer you want to hear. The other answer is that he was pretty obviously better. And they had 12 games to figure that out and didn't. Coach Saban is above criticism with everything he's accomplished, so I don't mean it that way. But I recruited Tua out of high school and knew what he could do. And it doesn't surprise me that he did what he did. Huh? Scott Frost never offered Tua Tagovailoa. Tua begged for an Oregon offer. He was Marcus Mariota's disciple. Marcus Mariota's chosen, you will be the next me in college football.
With the USC's and the Alabama's and the UCLA's of the world going after him.
He was the Elite 11 MVP. He went to the opening finals for 155 of the nation's best prospects. He led his team to a championship. He was named the MVP of the camp. Oregon didn't offer until after Scott Frost left. Scott Frost, get the heck out of here, man. Congratulations on winning Coach of the Year. You're a fantastic coach, and you're going to do well in Nebraska. But shut up. You did not offer Tua, and you can't even begin. I knew what he was. No, you didn't. He begged you. He begged you for an offer. And
is that all on Scott Frost, or is that on Helfrich maybe saying,
It's on both of them. It's on both of them. But for Frost to high-road it, they didn't actually ever end up offering in any of the time Frost was there. They waited until about 6 months after he was gone. So for him to say, we recruited him. No, Tua begged you to recruit him, and you didn't recruit him. Now, again, Justin Herbert's a great quarterback. I'm not saying if Tua were at Oregon that he would absolutely be the starter and Herbert sucks and none of that. None of that. But how disingenuous can Scott Frost be to say, I would have, you know, well, we knew what he was at Oregon. No, for 18 months, I did multiple stories. It's on Oregon Live. There's like 8 stories about Tua. Like, man, I hope I get that Oregon offer. Gee, I still haven't heard from Oregon. I keep calling the coaches and I don't hear anything. It's an embarrassment. This will never happen again, by the way. This is the perfect storm. In modern recruiting, which everyone says has only really happened in the last few years, you offer kids, especially quarterbacks, as freshmen too early, and mostly sophomores in the summer of their sophomore year. You don't wait until junior or senior year for quarterbacks anymore. That's not how it works. By the Elite 11 camp, the camp for the top 18 to 19 quarterbacks in the country that happens every year between their junior and senior years, for the last 3 or 4 years, all but 2 kids out of that group have been committed. So no one ever waits till late junior year anymore. That's not a thing. On top of that, Helfrich was an old school guy with Scott Frost, who as a group, they decided to be old school and follow the Chip Kelly regime of Oregon's too cool to chase. You come to us. That doesn't work. Dog don't hunt.
But Tua did come to them. He said, I want to be an Oregon quarterback. And they went, ah.
Right. Nah. Which is where they're, again, disingenuous, right? So on top of that, Oregon now, if this happened today, if the Heisman winner today, Baker Mayfield, had a star pupil in Oklahoma, or he's from a different state, so in Texas, whatever, that he'd mentored and he became a 4-star quarterback, one of the nation's best quarterbacks, Oklahoma's coach would hear from everyone in the world. In December of 2014, recruiting was a big deal. Recruiting's been a big deal for a while, but it's not like it is now, where everyone follows it. This radio show wouldn't have existed and didn't exist in 2014. You didn't have people, athletic directors, hiring entire coaching staffs because of recruiting. Mario Cristobal isn't the head coach at Oregon if that job opens up in 2014. And I'm not saying because he wasn't experienced enough, it was 3 years ago. I mean, same situation, go back. Because recruiting is now a huge headline-stealing deal. Someone would have said very high up at Oregon, what are you guys doing with Tua? This is an absolute slam dunk. Tua wins his first national championship. in his true freshman season. He wanted to be a Duck. Obviously, he wasn't the sole reason Alabama won a national championship. But ask yourselves, Duck fans, that wake of Mark Helfrich is still there. Ask yourselves, would you have rather had Tua Tagovailoa or Braxton Burmeister as the backup this year, and who would have been more ready? Because I'm telling you right now, back in December 2014 when he was a sophomore, I said he was the next great superstar quarterback. Said the same thing about Justin Herbert a year later when he was in high school. He's a future star. It wasn't hard to see, folks. And Helfrich and Frost sat on their hands, and then Frost had the audacity to call, I love it, had the audacity to call out Nick Saban about, it took you too long to recognize how good Tua was. Scott Frost, it took you over a year and you never really actually did.
Well, do you think that...
Good grief.
Tua would have been... I think the key here is this was just one half of football. It was great and it won the national championship. I'm talking about... This isn't about what you're talking
about.
You're
good. No, you're good. I'm following you. I'm totally following you.
The whole conversation around Tua is based on... Right now is based on one half of football. Second half of a national championship where he took over for a completely anemic Jalen Hurts and led Alabama back to the title and come back against Georgia. Would Tua have been as ready? I'm not even going to try to say his last name.
Tagovailoa.
Nope. Would Tua have been as ready as he was at Alabama if he was with the last year's Oregon coaching staff to take over for Justin Herbert when he went down?
Well, multi-tier answer. One, Marcus Arroyo did not put Burmeister in a situation to succeed. They threw a lot of dump offs and screens. They didn't throw over the middle. There were a lot of reasons Burmeister didn't succeed. By the way, Burmeister still has a chance to be very good. I still think Burmeister has a chance to be a solid quarterback. I'm not trying to say to crap all over Braxton Burmeister. He's a good quarterback. Tua looked polished at the Elite 11. There's a reason he was the MVP. There's a reason that he was the nation's number one quarterback in the end. There's a reason in the last few years, there's been like three in the last 5 years or four five-star quarterbacks in the last 5 years. He was one of them. The others are Jacob Eason, who got beat out by Jake Fromm. And by the way, I wrote about that when that was going on because I saw him together in a camp.
He's on his way to UW, there. Most likely.
He might end up at UW.
Yeah.
Battling a different Jake. From Jake Fromm to Jake Browning, and then Jake Sermon is going to be there next year. He signed. So it's the story of Jake's. Man, the whole thing with Scott Frost just bugs me. For a coach to come out and say, you know, we knew what he was at Oregon. It's the biggest example I've ever had in my career of a staff where I felt like, oh my gosh, this is in your lap and he's a stud, and they didn't know. And he tries to cite it as the example of he would have known. It's ridiculous. From the past quarterback recruits to the future. Joining me next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Sheldon four-star quarterback Michael Johnson Jr., the nation's number three dual-threat quarterback in the class of 2019. He's already been selected to play in the Under Armour All-American game. We will get his recruiting update again next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
In the class of 2018, there were several big-time four-star prospects. There aren't that many in the class of 2019. And I was terrified that I was going to lose this kid because his dad was maybe going to stay. He's the wide receiver coach at Oregon, Mike Johnson. Joining me, Sheldon, four-star quarterback, the nation's number three dual-threat quarterback, Michael Johnson Jr. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, dude, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You had some big news this week. You announced something huge for yourself as far as an all-star exhibition. Why don't you tell the listeners about it?
I committed to the Under Armour All-American game in Orlando, Florida. So that was pretty exciting. It was fun to be able to get out there and be able to compete for my last game of high school.
What does that mean to you before your senior season even begins? You're already picked to be in the Under Armour All-American game. I can only imagine that must feel incredible.
I think it's definitely a humbling experience, knowing all the hard work I've put in pretty much my whole life with the game of football, which is my passion. It shows that all of it's paid off, and I didn't do all this hard work for nothing to get noticed. And it's just really a humbling experience.
The last month and a half, probably a little bit stressful for you. You just moved to Sheldon. I think you guys have a wonderful and a huge opportunity here next year to win a state title. And then your dad's job's in the air, and not because he was going to get fired or anything, because he had some opportunities. how stressful as a son of a coach, and again, your dad's the receiver coach at Oregon, how stressful is it to go through that? And what was going through your mind about, man, I might leave Sheldon again, or were you potentially excited about the chance to move?
I mean, I'm pretty close to my dad, so whatever we do, I was definitely I've moved 7 or 8 times in my life, different schools, different states. So it's just nothing new to me. And if he's going to go, and I was going to go with him, I wasn't going to ask any questions about it. But definitely my heart right now definitely is in Oregon. Definitely, I want to stay with all my friends at Sheldon. I want to go get that state title next year. And that's really what the goal is right now. So I'm really happy that I'm staying.
We're talking to Under Armour All-American quarterback Michael Johnson Jr., the nation's number 3 dual-threat quarterback on Rivals. You've already got offers from, and I'm not going to be able to get them all, but Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, I think LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, West Virginia, TCU, Tennessee. I mean, you're just bombarded. How close are you to maybe starting to cut things down, or are you still wide open? Where do you stand in terms of your recruitment? I know, again, you're in your junior year right now.
Definitely the plan is I'm going to try to cut it down. I'm trying to cut it down soon. It's just that from the time junior year started to now, I think my top 5 or whatever has changed about 50 times. You just don't know if coaching changes and all that. So I'm going to take some visits this spring. After the visits I take this spring, I'm going to try to cut my list down, and I think that by then I should have a good idea of my top 5 or however top I'm going to announce.
Oregon obviously loves themselves a dual-threat quarterback, Dennis Dixon, Marcus Mariota, obviously kind of the headliners of that group. How serious are you looking at Oregon? I know your dad's there for a while. Early in the process, you kind of said, Oregon was going to be tough to beat, but at the same time, you were going to go through the whole process and that you were considering all your options. Where do you stand now with the Ducks?
Right now, I stand on the Ducks. Definitely, I'm definitely still considering Oregon. I think it's a great place, great environment to be in. But right now, I think Oregon's in the same boat as all the other schools I'm looking at. I think that right now, Oregon's another school that I'm considering, just like every other school. There's no advantage of them at all. So I think that they're just like LSU or just like any other school I'd be looking at.
Big time quarterbacks around this time kind of frankly start to become celebrities anymore with social media and things like that. You've got competition for the opening regionals, I imagine, coming up. I imagine the Elite 11 is a major goal for you. What are you doing right now to gear up this spring for a run at making some of those big time camps here in the next few months?
I'm training. Training pretty hard. I have at Sheldon we have lifting. 7 a.m. every morning. So I'm lifting then before school, going in the afternoon, running whenever I can. So that's what I'm doing right now to prepare myself for summer camps, like the opening and things like that. I'm just trying to put my best foot forward.
You're mostly a football guy. Are you doing any 7-on-7? Are you playing for anybody this spring?
Nobody locally. I'm definitely gonna do some tournaments with TMP Elite from the Bay Area where I used to live, and I'm pretty close with Coach T. It's Coach Terrence, not Coach Tagger, Coach Terrence.
I know who you're talking about, man. I talked to him just we chopped it up yesterday. So we talked just yesterday. Yeah, Coach T's the man, and he's worked with a number of big time athletes, including Najee Harris, who was the nation's number 1 recruit last year, running back at Alabama.
Yeah, he's a great guy, so I'm definitely going to do some tournaments with him, and that's mainly where I'm going to be playing.
You're a big-time athlete, obviously a runner. I think, if anything, right now, you need to hone your mechanics a little bit and work on your accuracy a little bit. Again, not being hypercritical, but I would say that's the area where you're trying to make some strides. How do you go about doing that? What kind of steps do you take to further yourself as a quarterback? Because right now, frankly, in Oregon high school football, as long as you're healthy, it's fairly easy for you.
I think right now I'm training. I'm throwing with a guy named Ben Barnett. He's a QB trainer, and I'm really he's really helped me with right now with my mechanics and just make me that much more accurate. And I'm just trying to get better with my accuracy. I feel like the athleticism is going to take care of itself because I think athletes can just do what athletes do. So I think that He's helped me with my accuracy, footwork, throwing form, all those things that are just going to help me so much more in the future.
Sheldon's got some serious dudes here in the next couple years. One of them is 2019 four-star tight end defensive end Patrick Herbert. What is it like to have him as a teammate and target at Sheldon?
Oh, he's good. Definitely. I like him a lot. He's a great friend of mine. He works hard, leads by example. He's just a really good guy. I think if you ask me, I think he's the best tight end in the nation. I don't think anyone can beat him. A guy that's 6'5", 230 right now without really doing all the lifting or anything like that. I think he's going to be unstoppable in years to come.
One of the things that really impresses me about you, Michael, is your knowledge of the game. We went to a game, and you actually came out and watched a game with me, and you were explaining kind of pre-snap what the coverages were, what to look for. How has that developed? Has that developed through your dad? Is that something you took upon yourself? How have you become such a student of the game where, again, you're breaking down plays and what the reads are and what the routes probably are, even before they happen?
I'd definitely give 100% of the credit to my dad. I knew very young that my goal was to be a big-time quarterback one day, and he knew what it took. So by sixth grade, I was on the chalkboard, drawing up reads, pointing out mics, things like that. So I think he's really helped me with that stuff. I think that it's just really helped me be use that as an advantage and be ahead of the game, because not many athletes, especially quarterbacks, have someone like have as a dad who knows what it takes and knows the steps to get there.
He's Michael Johnson Jr. He's the nation's number three dual threat quarterback. He is already the most heavily recruited quarterback in the history of the state of Oregon. Michael, thank you very much for joining me, man.
Okay, I have one more question. So when I decide to cut my list, you think I can do that on the show?
Yeah, man. Come on the show and cut your list. You want to do it in studio?
Yes. Definitely.
Okay, come in studio. We'll set it up off the air. Mike Lynch will help you set that up off the air. But yeah, definitely come in and cut your list on the air. We'll do a top five this spring.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks, man.
No problem.
Michael Johnson Jr. He saved my 2019 class. Without him, Oregon has Patrick Herbert, and he's a four-star talent. He's a very talented kid, but that was kind of it. There isn't a whole lot of talent in Oregon in the class of 2019. I was sweating that coaching decision because I wanted to have some big names to cover. He is the most big-time quarterback in the history of Oregon in terms of his recruitment. I'm really excited to cover him. And apparently, he's cutting his list here on the show in a few weeks.
Yeah, he didn't know my name when you said that, so he's already hung up. But we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. All right. Next, I'm recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Who's visiting Oregon State? And, you know, you don't want to step on announcements. You definitely don't want to step on commitments and leak them. Can you step on and leak an official visit announcement? We'll talk about it.
Featuring Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
The Oregon State Beavers are halfway through the 2018 recruiting class. 11 more spots. The dead period is almost over. And I don't know if everybody realizes just how much things bogged down during the dead period. There's a reason these All-American games are all going on here in the past 2 weeks. Coaches are not allowed to have any face-to-face contact. Good luck getting a kid to commit via Twitter DM. It'll happen. It won't happen a lot. So things finally back in gear after a couple weeks of just, again, a dead period tomorrow. And for Oregon State, that means some visitors. And the Beavers have quite, and it's only three guys this weekend, but one of them is very, very talented and very, very special. Four-star wide receiver Isaiah Crocker from TMP Elite. If you listen to the last segment, Michael Johnson Jr., the nation's number three dual threat quarterback, going to play in some tournaments for TMP Elite. TMP Elite is one of the best 7-on-7 programs on the West Coast. They get kids from all over. And when they travel to a tournament, you can get a kid from Oregon, a Michael Johnson Jr., to come be your quarterback. Crocker is visiting Oregon State this weekend. Why does that matter? Well, apparently, unbeknownst to me, Mike Lynch, that visit was supposed to be double super secret probation visit.
Really?
I found out from another recruit. I didn't think it was a big deal. I reached out to Crocker, didn't hear from him. That's not that rare with a big time recruit. Some, you know, it's hit or miss sometimes getting a hold of them. If they're not an Oregon kid, the Oregon kids, I know well enough that that's not hard. Out of state kids, a little tougher, and didn't hear from him, you know, wrote a story. And then it got a ton of attention as I, including his coach, who we've since hashed it out. We're all good. He said he overreacted. I said I could have probably handled the situation better. He said that I blew his visit, that it was a surprise, and that he wanted to tweet it himself. Now, I am all for kids announcing their commitments themselves. Talanoa Hufanga signed with USC during the early signing period. He asked USC to keep that a secret. He wanted to announce on his birthday, December 28th. I knew about that. I helped him with his recruitment video. If you listen to his recruitment video, I narrate the thing. So I did that a couple weeks before. I knew where he was going. But I didn't tell anybody. And I didn't make a big prediction piece and say, you know, I changed my prediction. It's now USC. I didn't do any of that because you build trust with these kids. And that's how you build trust and that's how you build faith. And I just talked to Cam McCormick's mom on Facebook, the tight end from Oregon. She told me about his commitment and he told me about his commitment a week before he made it. And you don't break that trust. A Twitter account found out about Talanoa Hufanga's commitment. Again, signed during the early signing period, December 20th through 23rd, but wanted to wait until December 28th to announce it and tweeted out. He wants to wait until his birthday to announce it, but he's committed and signed with USC, which totally ruined it for him. I mean, then all the news is out. There's no big deal. We wrote our story. Sources say he committed, and that was the end of it. But that same veil of secrecy tends to not come over official visits as well. Because you find out about official visits a number of ways, including, you know, parents know.
Well, and you've got 10 coach of them. It's not like your final decision. Five official visits.
Yeah. Basically unlimited unofficials. A lot of kids take 10 visits, 15 visits. They take five officials. But I was baffled. I was truly baffled that it was like, well, you stepped on it. And then I thought, you know, people are going to hate. You know, there's going to be Twitter trolls. That's fine. Then the coach got in. Apparently, the kid was upset about it. And I did feel bad. I didn't know it was supposed to be super secret. I didn't know it was super double secret probation, Animal House level stuff. I just thought it was a visit. Anyway, he's visiting. And he's very talented.
And
that would be
official.
A huge get. And and now it's officially an official visit.
Right.
And I'm officially allowed to officially announce his official visit.
You're
is official.
Doubly non-probation, super out in the open, no firewall allowed to say that.
And Oregon's in on him too. Oregon and Oregon State are both recruiting Isaiah Crocker. He went to the opening finals. Not a burner.
And he's from the Bay Area?
From the Bay Area. Not a burner, but a really good possession receiver, great hands, knows how to find a space in the open field, knows how to sit in a hole in a zone and catch a ball. Really like him. Oregon State, he told me a couple weeks ago, on record again, not breaking any secrets, Oregon State was his slight favorite. UCLA, USC, and Oregon are also involved for Isaiah Crocker. So it's going to be a battle. But that'd be a big get for Jonathan Smith. And they've recruited the heck out of TMP. Credit to Oregon State over the last couple years. Gary Anderson didn't do a lot of things right at Oregon State in terms of recruiting. He just didn't. I like the guy genuinely. I think he's a good man. But not a great recruiter. One of the things he did do well at is build a pipeline to TMP. TMP kids want to join other TMP kids. They're like a little elite force of talents across the country.
You can call them a clique if you'd like.
You can call it a clique. I was thinking more like a black ops type, like super, like an elite, because they're secretive apparently too.
Okay.
So like a secretive elite force.
Gotcha.
In high school football. They're extremely talented. They've done a good job with TMP. Oregon State's got a real shot at landing him. They also desperately need a quarterback. The Beavers have Jake DeCart. I like Jake DeCart. Lake Oswego quarterback, played for Team Lillard, really grew under Houston Lillard. For those who don't know, Houston Lillard, Damian Lillard's older brother, runs a 7-on-7 program. I'm going to check out their practice this Saturday at Madison High School in the morning. They always have a lot of elite kids. I like watching Team Lillard practices. Houston Lillard worked with Jake DeCart. He rose up the rankings from, you know, basically a baseball prospect, and we'll see, maybe a Big Sky guy, to a legit Pac-12 quarterback. But Oregon State needs two. And they lost Spencer Petras, the nation's number 12 pro-style quarterback, just a couple weeks ago to Iowa. And most of the good quarterbacks in the country are committed. I think all but one of the nation's top 30 pro-style quarterbacks are committed. all but one or two of the nation's top 30 dual threat quarterbacks are committed. So they're having to search for a diamond in the rough. And I got to tell you, one of the guys they're circling in on, Brock Purdy, the Arizona Gatorade Player of the Year. He also won an award as the best player in Arizona high school football, regardless of age, not just the seniors, but age, class, any position. Phenomenal talent. This year threw for 4,400 yards, 57 touchdowns. That's pretty good, right? Also ran for 1,000 yards. He had a monster season. He is not visiting this weekend. Oregon State is sending Brian Lindgren to his high school on Tuesday next week to visit with him. Expect an offer to come. Now, not a guarantee, but there's a good shot an offer comes. If it does, Brock Purdy's got a good chance to visit Oregon State, and I think Oregon State has a good chance to land him. He said his goal is to be a Power 5 quarterback. He's taking visits to Boise State and Central Florida. That's what he's got on the docket right now. He's got the February 2nd through February 4th date open 3 days before signing day, and he said if Oregon State offers, he may visit 3 days before signing day. You talk about falling into a kid, and credit again to Jonathan Smith for identifying this kid. We said on the show a couple weeks ago, Jonathan Smith is good at identifying quarterback talent. He just is. He did a good job at Washington. He's good at it, legitimately. So it's like, man, he's going to have to really work to find a guy here. Brock Purdy. Like, okay, let's see what this kid is. Let's see what this kid can do. And I watch his video, and I'm like, oh, man, he's legit. I mean, to fall into that kid after all these kids are committed and you're going, man, there's just nobody left on the West Coast. This is brutal. And if Brock Purdy falls in their laps, holy cow. That's a get.
Well, that would be, it would almost be a saving grace for the S-storm that the recruiting has been at Oregon State for the last year or so. I mean, it's been nothing but negative. It's been their one of the lowest teams in all the rankings, even below teams like Rice and Texas San Antonio and all those guys. And then you're like, well, all the guys are gone. You got a new coach late in the cycle and everyone's committed and you don't have anybody who's interested. And oh, well, maybe you got somebody who's interested.
It would be an unreal haul. I mean, to me, he's up there with Petras, Spencer Petras, who they lost, who was a four-star kid. And you go, man, that's going to be tough to replace. Holy cow. Jonathan Smith. Brian Lindgren, kudos. Good work.
Now just do it with more than one person.
Do it with more than one person. But Purdy's legit, man. I mean, like, realistically, you look at this kid, and it's like, okay, yes, he's good. But what is he going to have to work with, and what is he going to do? Because he's coming into an Oregon State situation where they haven't been great. Has he been surrounded by talent? His high school had never been to a state final. I asked him about it yesterday, and he says, you know, I believe if you're good enough, and you're a leader enough, you could build any program to a winner. So Oregon State fans swooning, right? But not only does he say it, he does it. He leads his high school to their first ever state title game. Brock Purdy, a name to watch. If he gets that offer next week and Oregon State lands him, again, I said a couple weeks ago, Jonathan Smith and his staff are going to be able to find some quarterbacks. I think he would be the best quarterback recruit they've gotten in the time I've covered recruiting at the Oregonian. That's a 4 or 5 year span, and it's a guy that fell into their lap. Kudos, Oregon State. Next, when we come back, wrapping up the week, what else is going on the recruiting trail for the Ducks? They're in it for 4 of the top 15 uncommitted prospects in the nation. We'll talk about it next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
The Oregon Ducks still in position, maybe, not likely, but maybe, for the best class in program history. Wrote an article on Oregon Live, oregonlive.com/recruiting. You can check it out there. Oregon's still in it for 4 of the nation's top 15 uncommitted prospects. Now, some of them are long shots, but 3 of them, Oregon's got a legit shot at. Jalen Waddle, who I think is the best slot receiver in the country. I've said that for about 6 months, 8 months. Tore up the U.S. Army All-American game just a freak. He's only a 4-star kid. He's like the 15th best receiver in the country, which is a joke. He's a top 5 player. He's a 5-star recruit. He reminds me a lot of Christian Kirk, who, again, another 4-star kid who ended up being a superstar in college. They're also very much in it for 4-star offensive lineman, Penei Sewell. He is down to Alabama, Oregon, USC, and Utah. Oregon, I thought, led during the early signing period. I thought if he committed, he was supposed to commit and sign. If he would have, I think it would have been Oregon. As this plays out, I think Alabama's making a move. USC is very much in there as well. Obviously, Utah's kind of the dark horse underdog. Cristobal's a fantastic recruiter, though. I mean, he really is. And I think his particular brand is offensive linemen. They've already got 4 offensive linemen who average height weight is like 6'5.5", 330 pounds. They're big boys.
That's so opposite of what Oregon's been going after.
They're going after meat and potatoes, guys, man. They really are. And Sewell adds to that. That would be huge. 5-star wide receiver Devon Williams. I predicted he'd end up at Oregon. I still feel pretty good about it. He named Oregon his leader. There was an accidental tweet yesterday. He's visiting USC here coming up this weekend. There was an accidental tweet last night committed to Alabama. It was not a formal announcement. There was no photo with it. A lot of times when big-time profile kids commit, there's a video or there's an explanation or something. This just said committed to Alabama. He immediately erased it and said it was a prank. I think it might have been. Alabama still, though, in the mix for him, as well as USC and Oregon. I think he's an A.J. Green, Julio Jones clone. I know that's lofty praise. I saw him at the opening. He was freaking dominant. I mean, just a 4, as good, as dominant a deep ball receiver as I've seen in the last couple of years there. They're also in it for Jalen Hall. Jalen Hall was a 5-star receiver, U.S. Army All-American selection a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago. He didn't end up playing in the U.S. Army All-American game. He is good enough. He was still selected. He's dropped down to a 4-star prospect. Still a huge potential. He's a Los Angeles kid. I think Oregon is the heavy favorite for him if they take him. He's got some stuff going on behind the scenes. If he's good, he can go to college and all that. I think Oregon gets him. So Oregon's still in the mix for a lot of good talent, Lynch.
It's weird that you bring back Cristobal because of the recruiting, and you're able to keep most of the staff together, almost all of them really good recruiters. And right immediately when it happened, you had some momentum. Guys were staying, although you lost about 4 or 5 recruits as well instantly who were the Taggart guys, the Florida guys. And then all of a sudden, the momentum seemed to just kind of stop. It felt like it was like, oh, this is great. They kept the recruiting guy. And then we stopped hearing a lot of good Oregon recruiting news.
It's true.
Why?
It's a good point. Couple things. The guys that were 100% solid signed during the early signing period. I thought Oregon had a very, very strong showing. Again, they signed the nation's number one recruiting class among teams that experienced a head coaching change. So of all the teams that experienced turnover, they did the very best in terms of signing guys. I think that matters. The other piece is this dead period. And the question that you ask is a good one. The thing that I still can't answer and I don't know, Mike Johnson is now staying, the wide receiver coach. The offensive coordinator is now staying. Cristobal, the other co-offensive coordinator, is now staying. All 5 of Oregon's 4-star wide receivers decommitted. And there is a scenario that none of the 5 come back to Oregon, even though they kept the receiver coach and both offensive coordinators. That's in play. Is it likely? Michael Ezeke, you know, maybe Oregon, maybe Arizona State. Miles Battle, he's a Texas kid. Could he end up at Texas A&M? Could he end up somewhere else? Yeah, he could. He could still end up at Oregon, too. But they didn't get Chase Cota, and he was not committed, but he chose UCLA. Braden Lindsey signed with Notre Dame. There's a scenario. Treshawn Harrison visiting Utah this weekend. Interested in Florida State. He might not end up in the class. And to me, I don't care what the rankings say. Treshawn Harrison was the best kid in this class. And I don't put that, again, I don't like to put big-time tags on kids all the time. I don't do it with everybody. I often don't do it with the Oregon kids. I hedge my bets a little bit. Treshawn Harrison is freaking special, man. Garfield High School, Seattle, Washington, works with Reggie Jones. He's big time. He's big time. I don't know if he comes back in the fold. So it's a good question. For all the guys that they retained, why weren't they able to re-add those receivers? And as of right now, I don't have a good answer. I know it's something that if those guys don't come back, I'll cover it. Because I know those kids. I'll reach out and say, what was it? Why didn't you come back? Because the whole point of keeping this group together was to keep this, you know, of the group of coaches together was to keep this group of recruits together. They did it. And the reason the receivers said they weren't necessarily coming back in the fold was that coach, the receiver coach, Mike Johnson, may or may not be gone. Well, he stayed and it didn't change anything. So I'm curious to see if it all shakes out where they don't end up with any of those five. I have to do a story on what happened because they had the arguably the best receiving nucleus in the country for the class of 2018. And right now they have nobody.
It just maybe they're just waiting and seeing what other offers are out there because they were given the opportunity to do it and they weren't locked into Oregon anymore. So they could go, you know, grass is always greener, see what the other girl is like. Oh, it's, you know, we can go have a little break. But yeah. It is weird that they all just kind of were like, yeah, okay, bye.
The dead period hurt them. The dead period hurt them. There's no doubt. And maybe they'll re-add them in the next few weeks, but it's not the slam dunk people thought. I want to ask you about something.
Does that mean that Taggart was their main recruiter then?
No, he wasn't, though, what? For a lot of them. Okay. I mean, that's the thing.
I guess that's the wrong question. Does that mean that Taggart was the guy who sold them on Oregon than Michael Johnson or whoever?
Taggart was a big influence. I think he was a big personality. He was a big personality. Overwatch League gaming started.
Transition.
Yes. I said I wanted to ask you about this. I've been wanting to ask you about this. You are not an epic gamer. It's not like an ultimate gamer, but you are a gamer.
Yes.
The Overwatch League started. If Overwatch recruiting becomes a thing,
you have to move to Korea.
will you help me, man? Because I don't think I can get into video game recruiting. If because schools are actually offering scholarships. For
I know
this
that. And they've got college tournaments now from those teams.
How big is the audience for that? For real. If a five-star gamer committed to Oregon, and if I wrote a story about it, would it be big? And would that audience understand if I comped it and was like, John Stewart, the five-star gamer from Utah, commits to Oregon, Oregon's best recruit since... you know, whoever, Treshawn Harrison, best recruits. Will people be able to follow that, or are those such separate groups? I'm in big trouble.
You might be in big trouble.
He's the DeAnthony Thomas.
I feel like
of Overwatch gaming, folks.
In the small amount that I know about super uber recruiting fans, I don't think they particularly care about Overwatch.
Okay.
And or other games. You'll have a mix for sure.
Okay.
Maybe you can enter a new audience. get some gamer guys in there, but yeah. Could you analyze good Overwatch play?
Heck no. I'd ask you to help. That's what I do, man. If I don't know offensive line or D-line or whatever, I find someone that knows and ask them just a ton of questions until I kind of feel like I have an understanding.
I feel like I've teased that I'm way too good at Overwatch better at Overwatch than I really am. But
we're going to film it, and I'm going to do a breakdown of your abilities, X's and O's of your Overwatch abilities.
Let's do it.
Okay. No more Overwatch talk. Next week, not Overwatch recruiting. We will cover real recruiting.
I mean, if you wanted to.
I am going to try to get Brock Purdy on the show.
I could talk about it.
We're done with your Overwatch, Lynch.
We talked about how Jay Jonak's the best Zenyatta. What?
No. No more. We're done. I'm trying to exit the show, man. And you're overwatching me. Next week, Brock, I'm going to try to get Brock Purdy. I'm saying he's on the show next week. If Oregon State offers, I'm getting him. I promise. And I'll talk to him about Oregon State. We'll also break down who's visiting Oregon again next week on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. Thanks again.
And can Dallas Fuel bounce back?
Stop. What? God, stop Overwatch. We got to get out. Thanks. Bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.